And the second time, Ezekiel was taken into captivity. He was 25 at that time. Then there was another captivity that happened sometime later. And that's when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. That was the third and final time. But Ezra, he is now in Babylon, taken there at the age of 25. Ezekiel. Got to get reoriented here after I've been wired funny, right? Okay. Ezekiel was 25, and he was born into the priestly family. So he was destined to be a priest. But the priests were priests in Jerusalem, and he wasn't in Jerusalem anymore. At the age of 30, when the priests began their service in the temple, Ezekiel, banished and in exile in Babylon, gets a vision. Which I'm sure he was not expecting, because the whole concept was, it's all about Jerusalem, it's all about the temple. And yet he's there in captivity, and God gives him a wonderful vision. Not a one chapter vision, but many chapters. It's a big book. And we've seen in the past 2 weeks a few things Ian touched last week, this matter of breaking the concept. One of the concepts is, well, we're in captivity. God wouldn't be with us. God wouldn't appear to us. Yet God did. Okay. So, we talked about the condition of Israel. And in chapter 2 of Ezekiel, I'd like to read just 3 verses. Gives you, what is Israel's situation? He, that's God, said to me, Ezekiel, son of man, I'm sending you to the Israelites, to the rebellious pagans who have rebelled against me. The Israelites and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this day. The children are obstinate and hard-hearted. I'm sending you to them, and you must say to them, this is what the Lord says. Whether they listen or refuse to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Now notice all these words. Rebellious pagans, they rebelled against me, they transgressed against me, they're obstinate, they're hard-hearted, and they're a rebellious house. How much more could you say? Kind of discouraging, to say the least, right? Very discouraging. But this is their condition. They're in exile, they're under God's judgment, and this is their condition. Rebellious, obstinate, and hard-hearted. These are the people Ezekiel is supposed to go speak to. Would you like that job? Not me. Not me. I'm glad you're not like that this morning. Okay, so what is Ezekiel's vision? Nigel gave us 2 weeks ago to show us he saw a vision, and we're not going to take it in the order that the verses go, but the vision was that, first of all, he saw, what's most important, he saw God on a throne. Now, what's interesting in this chapter, he doesn't say God, because, you know, you're not supposed to see God. It's too scary to see God. So actually, he uses another word. He uses the word seeing the glory. The glory. He saw glory. And that implication is he saw God on the throne, above everything. Okay? Verse 28 of chapter 1 says, such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. He saw the glory of God, the glory of the Lord on the throne. And Ian mentioned last week, this throne was a mobile throne, something moving. That's, you know, when Ezekiel has his vision, it's a kind of a strange vision. Hard even to grasp what is going on there. He's got these creatures, he's got a face, a man, a lion, an ox, an eagle, wheels within wheels. I mean, how can you have a wheel within a wheel and everything's moving? And actually, if you notice, there's one place I just this week, I noticed, how fast is it moving? It's moving as fast as lightning. Oh, yeah, it's not just kind of a puttering along. No, it's moving fast. Everything's moving. And we find out later in this book, I believe it's in chapter 10, the glory of the Lord is moving, and it moves, and guess what? It leaves the temple. Now, to the Jews, that would have been kind of a sad thing. The glory leaves the temple. Okay, so, and how about we look at a few verses? Ezekiel chapter 1, starting at verse 4. It says, I looked, and there was a whirlwind coming from the north, a great cloud with fire flashing back and forth, and brilliant light all around. In the center of the fire, there was a gleam like amber. And then if we go on to verse 12, we'll come back to some of those verses later. Verse 12 says, there's these creatures. And in chapter 1, they're called living creatures, and they have a peculiar appearance. But anyway, these creatures went straight ahead. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went without turning as they went. So what do we have here? Let's go back to the previous slide on the verse, starting with verse 4. Verse 5 says, the form of the four living creatures came from it, and theirs was the appearance. They had a human form, but each of them had four faces and four wings. My goodness. I have enough trouble with one face. You got four? Four faces. Where are we here? Four faces and four wings. 7. Their legs were straight. The soles of their feet were like the hooves of a calf, sparkling, the gleam of polished bronze. They had human hands under their wings. My goodness. Four wings, human hands. That's weird, huh? On their four sides. All four of them had faces and wings. My goodness. Next slide. And then verse 9. Their wings were touching. Touching what? Touching one another of the four creatures. The creatures did not turn as they moved. They moved, but they never turned. Yes. Hint, hint, guys. Okay. Each one went straight ahead. The form of each of their faces was that of a man. And each of the four had the face of a lion on their right, the face of an ox on their left, the face of an eagle. That was what their faces were like. Their wings were spread upward. Each had two wings touching that of another and two wings covering its body. Each creature went straight ahead. My goodness. What kind of a creatures are these? I think we have a verse 17. Yes, this is important. When they moved, they went in any of the four directions without pivoting as they moved. Go figure that one. Okay, verse 20. This is my important verse. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, the creatures went in the direction the Spirit was moving. The wheels rose alongside them. For the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. And then 26, the shape of the throne with the appearance of sapphire stones was above the expanse. My goodness, we've got an expanse and we've got something above the expanse. There was a form within the appearance of a human on the throne high above. Okay, before we have a demonstration this morning, to help you try to understand this a little bit, these four living creatures had four faces. And I would like to suggest this morning, I'm not saying we have to interpret the Bible this way, but I'm suggesting, a man, what's the significance of the face of a man? Well, first of all, he's human. And we know humans are the most intelligent creatures on the earth, we hope. And God created us with a free will to choose or, if we so desire, to reject. And the face is the prominent one of these four on the front. On the right is the face of a lion. Now, what in the world does a lion represent? Or could it represent? You know, in Revelation, there's a lion there too, right? There's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And who is that? That's Jesus. What? Why? Because he's reigning. When we think of a lion, we think of kingly. We think of reigning. We think of Lion King. king, something reigning. On the left is the ox. When you think of an ox, what do you think of? Strong, bearing a load, bearing a burden. Actually, a well-trained ox doesn't have a lot of rebellion in it, but it knows how to pull a heavy load. It knows how, we use this term, putting its shoulder to the plow. The ox has shoulders. And an ox has a yoke. And the yoke is in front of its shoulders. When it pulls with its shoulders. And then on the backside is the eagle. And this one may be not quite as easy. I mean, okay, so I looked up all the references of eagle in the Bible. Well, you can't find just one thing. There's many things. But at least we know an eagle soars. An eagle has wide wings. This eagle, when you think of an eagle, you think of an eagle. You look up for an eagle, you don't look down. Right? The eagle is soaring. This eagle is above. And then is able to look down on situations from high above. There's something transcendent with the eagle. So you got these four creatures. Okay, I've asked four brothers to come up this morning to help me. So please come to the stage and I get my props. Okay. First of all, you got to wear something. Sorry. One of you, each of you gets one of these. Put this on. Okay, so come on up here. So this is Kyle. You see the front? He has a human face. Ah. And on his right is the lion. On his left, the ox. And on the backside, an eagle. Okay, so come on up here, all four of you. Now, okay, let's pretend they have, I know you can't see four wings, but at least got two arms. And so you got to do with four, the two. But, okay, so they're supposed to move. They all move straight. They don't pivot. And yet they move in every direction. My goodness. How does that work? To save time. Okay, you're going to stand here, but you're going to turn this way. And you're going to stand here like this. And you're going to stand here like this. Now, we have one problem here. One of our living creatures has longer wings than the rest, but I think this should work. Okay, so their wings are up. Put your arms up as wings. And they're touching each other. That one touches that. That touches that. And that touches... Whoa, very good. And above that is the firmament. My goodness. See if they can do this. My firmament is hardly big enough. Okay. And above the firmament is what?
Throne.
The throne of God. So that one you got to imagine. Sorry. Above that is the throne of God. Now, they got to move. No pivoting, but they all move straight forward. Okay? You're going north right now. How about you come this way? Come my way. Very good.
Speed of lightning.
The speed of lightning, right. So you see, they got these guys are bright, right? So they figured out real fast. But you see how this could be the way, the vision that Ezekiel has? Now notice, when they move, whichever direction they move, the head or the face goes first. The eagle goes backwards, you could say, maybe. And since they're all, actually, whenever they go, whatever direction they go, every creature is moving forward. Right? When they go this way, the face is going this way. The lion is going this way. The ox is going this way. And the eagle is going this way. Whichever direction they go, they're going forward. But a different face. Now, the other thing about the verse is this. How did they move? What caused them to move? We have this verse 20. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, the creatures went in the direction the Spirit was moving. The creatures don't get to decide what direction to move. The Spirit directs their movement. Another point. When they're moving this way, Rod's happy. Who's over there? Oh, Kyle. Kyle's not so happy. Why? It's not very convenient.
Yes.
It's not very convenient. In fact, you think about it. As they move, 3/4 of the time, it's not convenient. It's not convenient. Only 1/4 of the time is it convenient. Okay, brothers, thank you very much. Very good. You can keep the cap if you like.
Souvenir.
So as we mentioned in this verse 20, wherever the Spirit wanted to go, the creatures went in the direction of the Spirit, that the Spirit was moving. And then the wheels, somewhere, I didn't know where to put the wheels, so we didn't have wheels. Maybe they were all on hoverboards, I don't know. We didn't want to bring any hoverboards in here in case they exploded. The wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. My goodness, even now these creatures have a spirit. Yet they're led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is leading them, moving them, and they move with the Spirit of God. Later on in his calls, these living creatures actually are cherubim. Ezekiel says, I saw them and I realized, oh, those are cherubim. What are cherubim? Well, they got wings. Whatever they are. But the fact that these creatures have something very earthly about them in a good sense. They're human. Ox, eagle, lion. Implies it's not just something only heavenly. And I believe we can apply this to ourselves. What are we trying to say? We are trying to say that we need to be led by the Spirit. We need to follow the direction of the Spirit, however the Spirit is moving, however the Spirit is leading and directing. Now, the last point I want to mention here, not the end of the message, but the last point in this picture here is this. What are these four living creatures bearing? What are they moving for? They're led by the Spirit, directed by the Spirit, but they are for the throne of God. They're bearing the throne of God. And what is the throne of God? The throne of God is the glory of God. Those four living creatures, as handsome as these brothers are, they are not for their own glory. They're for the glory of God. God's glory. Not their glory. God's glory. And you know what? It's interesting. Here we have the children of Israel in a terrible situation, in exile, but Ezekiel still sees the glory of God. Even though the condition is miserable, there is always the glory of God. Ezekiel sees it in exile among a rebellious people. Yet above it all is God's glory. Well, we may ask, okay, how do we know the Spirit's move? This is tricky. How can we know how the Spirit is moving? What direction is the Spirit moving? I think it's a fair question. Because what we see in this picture here in Ezekiel is not the Spirit is leading, but there's a movement, but it's a coordinated movement. Okay. Last year about this time, we decided to pursue a path of seeking the Lord concerning the direction of the church. And instead of having a top-down approach, we decided to gather a good number of saints together. We had approximately 80 saints. And this became what was called Vision 2020 process. And I think it's quite significant in how the whole thing worked its way out. We were divided up into groups. Eventually, we were divided up into groups. I think a total of 8 groups we start off with. Is that right? 8 groups we start off with. In those 8 groups, we were asked the question, how do you want to see the church look like in 5 or 10 years? What do you want to see the church look like in 5 or 10 years? 8 separate groups, okay? After we spent about an hour, hour and a half, or whatever, doing that, then after that, those 8 groups were combined, 2 groups each, into 4 groups, bringing with them all the stuff that they had collected. And it was then, instead of 8, was 4 lists. And then the 4 lists became 2 lists. But what was striking is this, we had in-between sessions and where every group presented all the four groups presented what they had come up with. And this was a striking thing. 4 groups, no communication with each other, but when they had the lists, all the lists looked very similar. And the brother who was leading us, he says, "What does this tell you?" This tell you is that the Spirit has spoken, because all 4 look very similar. Okay. So, how do we find the Spirit's leading? We were together. We were open to share our feelings. We were open to hear and listen to others. Open to receive from others. And also open to maybe drop our preference if it was not echoed by others. In other words, we're willing to walk backwards. Or sideways. I heard a brother one time say, "How do you know the Spirit is moving?" He said, "It's not always noise." He said, "Sometimes you know the Spirit is moving when there's silence." Okay. What do we need? We come to this kind of the last point in your outline, Romans 3. The Spirit needs, the Spirit's move needs us to do or be a number of things. First of all, the Spirit needs us to be directed and led by the Spirit. The Spirit needs to lead. In other words, we need to have a realization both individually and corporately, we want the Spirit to lead. That may mean some inconvenience for me. But I want the Spirit to be leading. I want the Spirit to be moving, and I want the Spirit to be the one leading us. And it's not just about what I want. We're moving together. It's a corporate move here, not an individual move. Yes, there are times when we can say, the Spirit has led me to do this. But in this picture, it's not me. It's the Spirit has led us this way. A bit different. Yes, you can have your individual leading, but that's not what this section is talking about. This section is talking about the Spirit leading us. So, even though these creatures all have the Spirit, it says the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Yes, they have a spirit, but their spirit is subject to the Spirit of God. So, it requires our submission to the Spirit of God. You know what? Let me say this. When we really see God on the throne as God, and when we see the glory of God and are attracted and controlled and impressed and overwhelmed by the glory of God, submission is easy. Why is submission hard? Because we are looking at ourselves, we're not looking at God. I'm reminded of that song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Right?
Yes.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. How's it go then? Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Why are you struggling with the Lord? Because you're not seeing his glory. Let yourself be attracted to God's glory. Look at the throne. Look at Jesus. Forget about yourself. Don't worry. Why worry about your future? God is on the throne. You want to be in the throne? Good luck. See how that works. Be together with others. To know the Spirit of God's moving. We cannot do it all by ourselves. I just want to let you know something, okay? I don't know, some of you know, but most of you probably don't realize this. Every Sunday morning, one of us, either Nigel or Ian or myself, are giving a message. Do you realize how much time we spend together? Actually, tell you the truth, this morning I'm giving our message. So how do we do it? Okay. Sometimes we come together, we've had maybe some research or some study on our own before we come together sometimes on Monday night with all the elders, we have some fellowship. Sometimes we don't, sometimes we do, about what we're going to cover. Tuesday morning, Nigel and Ian and myself, we get together, we start fellowshipping. About what is it that we want to, what is the point this coming week? So we spend the morning doing that. Then whoever's going to share goes home and prepares a preliminary outline. Kind of like what you have in your bulletin. Then we come together Wednesday morning and add to that Jane Suerte. And then what do? We massage, we tear apart, we rearrange that outline. Till we have a feeling this is how the Lord's moving. And then the one who's sharing goes home and works hard to put it all together to make it sensible, hopefully not nonsensible. We work together. And I believe each one of us can say and testify, because we work together, because this message has worked together, we have the boldness on Sunday morning to speak what we do. Because it's not just mine, it's ours. And when I was working on this message, before we started to get together, just to let you know, I was actually going a different direction. I never even told these two brothers. They don't even know that. But as we were together, I realized, oh, forget it, drop that. We're going this way. I didn't pivot. I walked backwards. Drop our personal interest if necessary. Sometimes, you know, it's interesting. We're fellowshipping together, and even there, sometimes you say, you know, brother, you really have a burden this week. I know it's my turn, but I think you should share. Why? You have something from the Lord. It's your burden. Run with it. We drop our personal interest. We coordinated with one another. How can the Spirit, you said the picture here, the moving of the Spirit requires our cooperation, not just with the Spirit, but with one another. We go different directions at different times. We don't cover everything at once. You know, this 2020 came up with 16 points. You realize if you really study it hard, we haven't done all 16 points. Why? Because we can't do everything at once. We can only do what we can do. But when it's time for us to take responsibility and be the ox, bear the responsibility. Don't just say, well, when it's convenient, I'll do it. You know, if all those who served on coffee said, well, if it's convenient, I'll help make the coffee. Some weeks you wouldn't have any coffee. There's some oxen in the kitchen. But in every aspect of the church, we need oxen. In fact, we need more oxen. I'll come to that later. Be willing to be inconvenienced. Yes, be willing to be inconvenienced. Go backwards. Go sideways. But at the same time, we don't have the ability to do everything at once. So that's why I said this morning, if you want to donate to the Fort McMurray tragedy, donate to Red Cross. We can't cope. We already actually are doing many things beyond these walls. We're related to, we do things for Scott Mission. We do things with Matthew House. And an offshoot of that is refugees. And some are also related to Jesus Network, which is reaching out to the Muslim community with the gospel. Some time ago, there's another Christian para organization called CAP. It's called Christians Against Poverty. And they have all kinds of programs, and they basically work with churches. So I attended one of these sessions, and eventually I sat down with somebody from there, and they said, so they asked me, what is your church doing? So I started outlining everything we're doing, and then I realized I just kept talking. And then she said to me, she says, man, you guys are doing a lot of things. Do you have time for this? That's a very good question. Suddenly I realized, no, we don't have time to do this. We don't have the capacity to do this. We already have so many things going on. One more thing is just too much. That means we can't do everything. We can only do what we can do. So, what is this whole picture that we saw this morning? The picture is God is on the throne. God, in his glory, is on the throne. The Spirit is leading. The Spirit is directing. And these four living creatures / cherubim are moving, being led and directed by the Spirit. And actually, that's how God on the throne, in his glory, is moving. It's all about the glory of God. So our serving is for the glory of God. Even the church is for the glory of God. Your salvation is for the glory of God. Everything is for God's glory. So even, I would say this, when we are moving with the Spirit, a question we ask. Now this question should be asked both corporately and individually. And that is, will what I do bring glory to God? Will what we do bring glory to God? Whatever it is, I think this is a good question to ask ourselves. Whatever we do in the church, whether it's making coffee, whether it's cleaning the floors, whether it's serving the children, whether it's serving in music, whether it's serving on recording, will this bring glory to God? Will my singing in the congregation bring glory to God? Let's make this our determination. Practically, I said we need more oxen. We have this card, and it's outside, just outside here on the table. It's called My Vision 2020 Response. On the back side, there's all kinds of places. Please do not fill in all. Do not tick every box. I know you may want to be an ox, but you're only an ox one quarter of the time, or whatever, and just the best, actually, the best is you pick one thing. To pick one thing that you feel the Lord is leading you to participate in, to coordinate in together with other saints for the Spirit's move and for the move of God on the throne. These cards are outside there on the table. So, let's make the glory of God our determination. Amen. Let's make serving God and His glory our determination. Let's pray. Amen. Dear Lord, Amen. You're the God on the throne, Amen. In glory, Amen. Above everything in this universe. We worship you. We like to glorify you. We like to serve you and follow you together with your people. Amen. Lord, we realize many times this isn't so easy. To go backwards, it's not easy. Even to go sideways, it's not easy. Lord, grant us to see something higher than our own personal preference. Grant us to see your glory is what we're here for. We're following you, a God who is on the move. Even if all around us what we see is something negative, still you're a God of glory and you're still moving. Amen. Lord, we worship you. We like to commit ourselves to you.